Our visit with Bernie Mickle is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. Bernie Mickle, how are you on this Super Bowl Sunday?
I'm doing great. You know, going to just enjoy the day. I hope it's a great game. I have a feeling it will be. And also, of course, looking forward to later in the week, players and catchers reporting, players and pitchers, sorry, reporting to Jupiter, Florida for the opening of spring training.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that, too. As soon as this game is over, my attention goes to that and college basketball and hockey and soccer and all the things that are about to happen all at once. But certainly, I think it'll be a fun day. And I just reminisced about the greatest show on turf. Quick story, I was 24, so this is 1990. Yeah, I was 24 years old and was asked to anchor our coverage from the downtown studios if the Rams won. We were going to know that downtown was going to be crazy. So I anchored all of our coverage from here. What an honor that was. But I was, when Isaac Bruce scored on that 73-yard touchdown, I was in the middle of a pile of friends in an apartment in U City. And when Jones made the tackle, I ran out the door, got in my car, raced downtown. And when the network coverage ended, we started with local coverage here. And it was just an amazing night. I know that you, like I did, covered that team from start to finish, Bernie.
Absolutely. You know what I was doing? And this kind of hooks it into the fact that Super Bowl Sunday. You know what I was doing real late the last couple nights? And I would advise fans who want to get into the nostalgia of the 99 Rams and just appreciate all over again how great it was, just go to YouTube. Not YouTube TV or not anybody's particular YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search 1999 Rams. There is so much on there. I mean, you can watch. I'll just leave it at that. I watch the NFL films, like 1 hour show about the 1999 Rams, and relived all those great wins and all those great players and all these incredible plays. And you know, it's 25 years later, Tom, and I don't mean to dwell on this too long, but one thing I kind of forgot about was how great that Rams defense was. You know, they they had seven pick sixes that year, seven. And we're second in the league in sacks, you know, second in the league in terms of the opponent passer rating. My point being is, like, we associate the greatest show turf, greatest show on turf, Rams, with offense, as we should. But they had one heck of a defense. I mean, really outstanding. And I think those guys kind of get overlooked in history.
I'm so glad that you said that. I remember getting into an argument, like one of those sports bar arguments, you know, where I said, well, they don't win the Super Bowl without defense. Guys like, oh, you're crazy. What are you talking about? They were all offense. I'm like, no, actually, if you go back and look, I mean, I covered the team. Their defense was excellent. So I appreciate that, Bernie.
Yeah, that season they were fourth in fewest points allowed. They led the league in defensive touchdowns. They had seven pick sixes. They were sixth in takeaways. They had the second most interceptions. They only allowed 19 touchdown passes, but they picked off 29. They were tied first in sacks. I mean, on and on and on and on. So anybody who says they didn't have a good defense is wrong. Be incorrect. I was gonna say something nastier, but I bit my tongue.
That's all right. So. Drew would have bleeped you. they literally won the Super Bowl on a defensive play.
Right.
Mike Jones
right.
Making the tackle. What an amazing time that was. I think the Chiefs have gotten to this point actually because of defense. They are an excellent. We all know about Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, great offensive mind. They get the job done. They always seem to find a way. But they're not here without their defense, I don't think.
I totally agree, because it just wouldn't have happened if this had been a bad defense, because the Chiefs have not been able to outscore teams that would have put up a lot of points on their own defense had the defense been terrible. Listen, if the Chiefs win today, especially, I would make a case, and I don't think I'm wrong, and I don't think I'm being a homer, because he was a head coach in St. Louis, Steve Spagnuolo. This would be his fifth Super Bowl ring as a defensive coordinator in the NFL. And to me, he coached the all-time masterpiece, the 2007 season against the Patriots. The Giants were a 12.5-point underdog, and they were averaging the Patriots were averaging coming in about 37 points per game. So the Giants, as a 12.5-point underdog, they got in Brady's face all day because of the pass rush package that Spags put together. And a team that averaged 37 points per game during the season he held them to 14 points. It's the greatest single game Super Bowl coaching performance defensively of all time. So if he gets a fifth, especially if he gets a fifth Super Bowl, how can he not be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
No, I agree.
Seriously.
And if he goes in, Jim Hanifin should be in. Don't you think?
Yeah, and I agree with that, but it's like Spags had has a coordinator title. So when you talk mm-hmm. to the greatest offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, in the Super Bowl era, there has not been a better defensive coordinator than Steve Spagnuolo, who's coordinated defenses for two different teams that won, at least to right now, a total of four Super Bowls.
No, amen to that. If the Chiefs win, it will be because two things. They contained Saquon Barkley, didn't let him break one. And secondly, they got into Jalen Hurts' head, because those blitzes, Bernie, if Spags is able to just slightly disrupt his timing, they should be okay. But easier said than done. The Eagles have some serious firepower.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to put everything on Steve Spagnuolo, but it's interesting if you look at his postseason history, as I did. I studied it. So he's had 18 games as the Chiefs defensive coordinator in the postseason, 18 games. The most a running back has ever gained against his defense is 89 yards in a game. And if you add the Giants games to it, he would have 23 total games as a defensive coordinator in the postseason. Only one time has a back ran for more than 100 yards against his defense. So he kind of comes up with some stuff to do the best he can to negate a guy like Barkley. Let's see if he can get it done. I don't know. And I listen, the other thing, too, is his blitz packages and his creativity. And he comes up with stuff that they're like diabolical. They don't even use this stuff in the regular season. But then when the postseason starts, he saves it. He's got it in his pocket for these crazy blitzes. And Warren Sharp, who's one of the great football data analysts of all time, he came up with a thing this week where it showed where when Jalen Hurts is pressured and I'm not talking about scrambling. I'm talking about, when he throws the ball, when he's being pressured, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL this year. And I know that sounds crazy, but Warren Sharp laid it all out. I mean, he's got the facts. And the only other thing, I agree with what you said. The only other thing I would add to that, the Chiefs this season, in terms of red zone opportunities, and they had a lot of them, the percentage of red zone opportunities where they score a touchdown, it was the lowest percentage of Mahomes' career. And Vic Fangio, is his entire career as a defensive coordinator, now with Philadelphia, his defenses have been in the top four or five like every single season in denying touchdowns in the red zone. So the Chiefs will get down there, but will they have to settle for field goals? I mean, I think that's a huge battleground in this game, the red zone, when the Chiefs have the ball.
I agree with you. I think that's a great breakdown. Let me give you one more topic, if you would, and we got 2 minutes left, so we're at the 2 minute clock. It's running. Why isn't Torrey Holt in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Oh my gosh, 2 minutes. Number one, they changed the rules, so it's much more harder for a modern era candidate. Like, don't be confused the fact that Sterling Sharp got in. Him getting in had nothing to do with Torrey Holt being excluded, because Sharp was a senior committee nominee, so he got in based on that. But they changed the rules. They're going to make it much harder for modern era candidates to get in. They thought that the committee was putting in five, a long, long time, like all five would make it that got to the finalist. So by putting in the new rules, it's really harder for candidates to get the votes they need. And I won't go into the weeds on that, but it's harder to get the necessary votes. So basically what happened is that not only Torrey Holt, who was a finalist for the sixth time, but Reggie Wayne, finalist for the sixth time, I believe that they canceled each other out. They both got a lot of votes, but because it's much harder to clear that bar now, I think they canceled each other out. My fear is that Torrey Holt is going to kind of slip through the cracks, because this Hall of Fame keeps changing the rules all the time.
It's tough, but that's actually a really good analysis. It makes me feel a little more understanding, still angry,
No, you should be.
Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. I hope you have a great, what do you got? What are we cooking up tonight?
You know, mostly stuff that we went out and bought. I mean, yeah. Although we're making some pasta, but we, you know, we're going to have the usual. We're going to have like dollar roll sandwiches, chicken wings. There we've got all kinds of dips.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all over it.
I'm ready to go. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Great stuff. We'll see you on the Gas House Gang tomorrow.
Have fun.
That's Bernie Mickles. Subscribe to his YouTube channel, The Bernie Show. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning.